We're going to talk about the NBA playoffs, the NFL draft, and Aaron Rodgers finally traded to the New York Jets. It's win or lose. Hey, what's up? Welcome back to Win or Lose. This is T-Mo. Thanks to everybody who's listening to the podcast or listening to me on YouTube. Subscribe, like, comment. It's been a busy week in sports. We got the NFL draft tonight. I'm going to talk a little NBA playoffs, though. The playoffs have been wild. They've been exciting. I like the parity in the NBA this year. It's been fun so far. Let's start off with the Eastern Conference. The number one seed, the Milwaukee Bucks, are done. They're out. Got beat by Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat 4-1. Heat wrapped up the series yesterday in overtime, 128-126. Butler 42. He got some help last night. Adebayo chipped in. Kevin Love, you know, turned back the clock. Gabe Vincent helped out. Kyle Lowry even was huge on the defensive side of the ball and hit some timely shots. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm surprised by this one. And everybody's going to make this excuse. Giannis was out the, you know, couple of games. He missed some games. That may be true. But sometimes, you know, especially in this scenario, sometimes, I mean, it just comes down to will. And sometimes it just comes down to coaching. I think Spoelstra just made Budenholzer look like a rookie head coach out there. And this is a guy who's won a championship and had the best record in the regular season several years. But other than that championship, it always seems like he just does not make the right adjustments to keep his team, you know, afloat and to beat teams they should beat. This is a series I think they should have won without Giannis. But definitely with him coming back these last two games and then just the way they just fell apart and completely just choked in these last two games in the fourth quarter. I mean, Miami Heat have been one of the worst offenses in the league all year. You wouldn't be able to tell that this series. Milwaukee's defense was terrible. It's been terrible for the last 2 months, and I've never really heard nobody talking about how bad Milwaukee's defense has been the last 2 months of the season. I guess they were winning games, and people kind of felt like they was coasting to the playoffs, so nobody paid attention to it. But they've been a bad defensive team, I think, since February. Like I said, Miami took advantage of it. Jimmy Butler played out of his mind. There was no double. He just, you know, was able to do what he wanted to, and he kind of willed his team to this victory. I feel like with Milwaukee, like I said, with Budenholzer, I feel like they won that championship in spite of him. You know what I'm saying? You know how you feel like you got somewhere, like, in spite of the hand you was dealt. You know, like, damn, you know, I was in a tough situation, but I got, you know, I found my way. I think they won that championship, you know, in spite of him, you know, fucking things up. So they're done. I don't know what their future holds. They are a veteran team. A lot of old. They look kind of old out there, too. You know, look kind of old out there. Surprised Jrue Holiday kind of got, you know, taken school the way he did with Butler. He did what he wanted to do with him all series long. So Miami moves on. And they'll take on the New York Knicks, who, you know, made quick work out of Cleveland. Another series. I predicted the Knicks would win this series, but I didn't think it would be 4-1. They dominated the glass. And, you know, other than game two, the game Cleveland won, and game one came down to the wire too. These games wasn't close. I think New York from the start, from 3, 4, and 5, they found something, made some adjustments, and the rest of the last three games of this series were not close. Donovan Mitchell shot poorly. And Cleveland's a young team too, though, you know. Yeah, young team. A lot of these guys was their first, you know, time in the playoffs. Darius Garland and Evan Mobley. They, you know, finally got their first taste. And, you know, I think they need to kind of get more depth. They kind of bench was kind of suspect. And you don't have Kevin Durant and Devin Booker to kind of, you know, offset the, you know, the lack of not having a bench. So, I mean, I think that was their issue. New York was the deeper team. The more veteran team, I think, has some experience in the playoffs, and I think it kind of showed down the stretch. Cleveland will, you know, they'll make some couple of changes, and I think they'll be better. As for the Knicks, first playoffs they've won, first series they've won in 10 years, they get to move on, and the best thing is they got the home court advantage now. You see how the Garden was in those two games. Let's see how it goes. I think this is going to be a good series, a good grueling defenses. This series might remind you of 90s basketball. It might not be a lot of 110, 115, 125 point games like we're seeing with the rest of the way the NBA is shaped up now. I think it's going to be a good defensive game. I think New York will play Jimmy Butler way better than what the Bucks did, because they got experience with Tom Thibodeau coaching Butler. So I think they'll play them a little bit better than what the hell the Bucks was doing. We got a series that still continues tonight. The Boston Celtics and the Atlanta Hawks. Game 6 is tonight in Atlanta. Celtics with a chance to close it out again. They kind of let it slip away at home. And with Boston, sometimes with those close games, with them, it's like when you get them in that close game, it's like, who wants to close it out? It seems like Tatum should be the guy, but it seems like Brown wants to be the guy more. So I don't know. They need to get that figured out. And you kind of see you see the difference too with Udoka and Mazzulla in close games. I don't feel like Mazzulla kind of, shrunk a little bit in that close situation. I feel like they let that slip away. They could have doubled Trae Young or made. They just played like they overlooked Hawks. They didn't take that series. They just was played through the motions the whole game. Seemed like they were up 10 the whole game except for the last 3 or 4 minutes. And it just seemed like they never took it serious to really put their foot in the Hawks' ass or on their neck to let them know this series is over. They never did that. The Hawks stayed around, and they was able to steal it. Now they got game 6 back at home. DeJounte Murray's coming back. Anything can happen. Boston does not want to get this into a game 7. I think they'll take care of business tonight. I think they'll be more focused, and you'll see them put the Hawks away tonight. The Sixers are resting. They made quick work of the other Brooklyn Nets. Now we just got to see how Joel Embiid is feeling. This guy falls on the ground. Every time you look up, he's on the ground. So he need every little rest he can get. Rest up his knees. They said he might wear a brace. We'll see. He needs all the rest he can get. I'm thinking it's going to be Boston and Philly in the second round, but we'll see. This has been crazy so far. You see the Bucks are gone, so anything can happen. Trae Young get hot, he can force a game 7. But I think Tatum and Brown, the Celtics, will come out focused. They're a veteran team. You know, they let one slip away in game 5. I think they'll take care of the Hawks. The Western Conference side of things, the Denver Nuggets, the number one seed, took care of the Minnesota Timberwolves. A tough 5-game series. Sometimes we think of the gentleman sweep and, it was easy. These were some tough games that came down to the wire. Minnesota had their chances. They just couldn't, make a shot here or there. A couple of shots came down to the last second. But Denver, I think this is their best chance to get out the West. If they don't get out this year, I don't know. They finally got Jokic, his team finally healthy. Michael Porter, Jamal Murray, they got some depth now. A lot of perimeter players that can play, guard the KDs, the Aaron Gordons. They can guard the KDs. So it's going to be an interesting series with them playing the Phoenix Suns, who also took care of the Los Angeles Clippers in 5 games. I'm kind of worried about the minutes KD and them playing, but KD's kind of been hurt. Him and Booker missed a lot of games this year, so I think they don't mind it. They kind of got fresh legs, so they really haven't played that much this year. So I think they're doing good, and they were just against an undermanned Clipper team. What the Clippers going to do with Kawhi, I do not know. It's just kind of unfortunate because I'm thinking, looking at those first couple of games with Kawhi and Paul George, I think the Clippers win this series. And call me crazy, but I think the Clippers would have won this series, but they were just undermanned, and you can't be undermanned when the other team got Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. What Devin Booker did in that series was unbelievable. I think KD's still kind of trying to fill out the team, so he's letting Booker do his thing now, but I think once it gets down to the stretch and Phoenix is in tougher games down to the wire, I think KD's going to be that man. He needs to be that man to kind of rise into the occasion. We've seen Booker shrink last year against Dallas and 2 years before against Milwaukee. So I think once they get deeper into the playoffs and start getting stiffer competition, I think KD's going to be the guy to close out this game. I don't like him standing over there in the corner chilling. Get him the ball, move the hell out the way. I think we'll see more of that as the playoffs go on and go on. Lakers and Grizzlies. Lakers had a chance to close it out yesterday in Memphis, but they took their foot off the gas. I don't think they showed up. I think they're just depending, banking on this going back home to game 6 and getting it wrapped up, which could be dangerous, but Memphis struggles on the road. I think they know they'll have a little bit more energy because they know, like, we lose this game 6, it might be a wrap. Going traveling all the way back across down to Memphis. So LeBron looked a little bit tired yesterday. I think he'll be rejuvenated for game six because he knows we got to get it done. I think they will get it done. If they don't get it done, I think Memphis will win this series in seven. But I'm kind of confident that LeBron was just, you know, resting up. They took him out with like 4 or 5 minutes left in the game. It wasn't completely over yet, but they took him out. I think they're going to, you know, played him in spots, took him out. He'll be ready for game six to go. This is going to be the Lakers' best shot because they know they don't want to go back to Memphis for game seven. And the best series of the first round has been the Kings and the Warriors. Warriors stole one yesterday. That was their best game. I feel like all the games they played in Sacramento, they was in all three of them. All three of them, they could have really, you know, it really had a chance to win. But this was the one where it all came together, where it was just a total team effort. Draymond Green chipped in with 21. You know, Jordan Poole was hitting shots. Wiggins, the Splash Brothers was on fire. Looney with another 20-rebound game. Steve Kerr, you know, went through his chest moves and his pulled out his whole toolbox in coaching. It was a full team effort by the Warriors. I think this series is over. I think they go back home. There's no way in hell they're going to go back home and let that slip away and go back to Sacramento for game seven. Kings are a nice young team. Good story, but you can still kind of see that they really ain't built for the moment yet. Game four, they had chances to win that and go up 3-1 where they wouldn't even be in this situation. And you just can kind of see they still green and still young. Don't know quite how to get it done yet. Warriors took advantage of it. They up 3-2, go back home. I think they close it out. All right, so let's talk about the NFL draft happening this Thursday. The Carolina Panthers got the first pick. I'm going to focus on the quarterback situation here in the draft and kind of see where that goes and how that shapes the rest of the first round starting on Thursday. I think the consensus pick is everybody kind of feels like Carolina's going to go with Bryce Young from Alabama. And they traded up with the Bears, who the Bears originally had the first pick, but Carolina traded up with them, gave them a nice package too. Also a good receiver in DJ Moore. So they're trading up at number one. So everybody's saying they're going to pick Bryce Young from Alabama, and they were kind of concerned about his size. Everybody was saying he was short, but we've kind of seen how that's changed in the NFL now with, you know, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray now on his second contract. So it's like, is size really a big deal? I think Bryce got the maturity. I think he's going to come in here and, you know, help a Panther team. Now they got a new coach in Frank Wright, who, you know, is pretty good with quarterbacks. So we'll see how that works out. I think it is a good pick. It's a safe pick. I don't know how good Bryce is going to be in the NFL, but this is the risk you take with quarterbacks and players overall. So if I think like he gets the good, you know, good people around him, they need to go out and give him some more weapons. Because like I said, they traded DJ Moore in. They brought in Miles Sanders, who kind of, you know, has run that offense with a mobile quarterback in Philadelphia. They went out and got Adam Thielen. I don't know how much he has left in the tank, but a veteran presence who, you know, would be a nice little veteran for the rookie quarterback. So I think they just need to maybe get another receiver. But I think, you know, I think that is the good first pick. I think he's going to be coming in here, and I think he should start immediately, and we'll see how it goes. But I think he will definitely be the first quarterback taken. Now, two is where it gets tricky. That's probably where the draft's going to start off at, really. You know, we kind of know where number one's going. But with number two, they're saying Houston could go quarterback, but they can also take a defensive player with a Will Anderson or, who knows, a Tyree Wilson. So they got their options at two. I don't know if Houston quite loves the quarterback crop this year, but they still might take one, you know. Who knows, they might like the quarterback crop next season when you got Caleb Williams coming in from USC, and then you got Drake May coming in next year too. So they might like the crop next year better than this field. Who knows, Houston's not going to be one of the best teams in the league, so they might be in this top five, top three pick next year and be able to get who they feel like might be better than this crop of quarterbacks. But if they don't take a quarterback, like I said, I think they're going to go defense. Defensive coordinator just brought in from San Francisco. He's the new head coach, so they might go defense, but they might go quarterback. They also have the 17th pick in the draft. So you know, let's say one of these guys drops, a C.J. Stroud or a Will Levis kind of drops, they can maybe be a trade that 17th pickup, and kind of with a Philadelphia who has the 10th pick, who really, you know, they don't really need much. So they might take a call from Houston saying, let's trade up, and maybe they'll get a quarterback who's fallen. I don't know. Three also with Arizona. They don't need a quarterback, at least not now. I don't know how much they, you know, I heard some rumblings with Kyler Murray and the team there, but they look like they're going to take a defensive guy if they keep the pick. Now, with several teams I think can trade up with Arizona who might need a quarterback. There's rumblings Tennessee might want to trade up. I was hearing the Raiders, but then I said, then I heard again the Raiders might stick where they at and see if something might fall to them. Is Atlanta sold on Ridder? And, you know, are they happy with their quarterback position? So it's some things going on, but I think if Arizona keeps the pick, then I think that Indianapolis will have their, you know, what's left. Like I said, if Houston goes two with a quarterback, what falls to them? The thing is with Anthony Richardson, I think he's a raw talent. I think he's going to be good, but I think it'd be good if he sits a little bit. I don't know if he's quite ready to come in and start and take over an organization. So I think Seattle or Detroit would be best for him. Sit behind a veteran for 1 or 2 years. That would be the best case scenario. But I don't know. Seattle might want to go defense, and Detroit might want to go defense. Two teams that kind of struggled defensively last year, they might want to go defense. But I think that would be great for Anthony Richardson going to one of those teams or the Raiders at 7. You can go in there, sit behind Garoppolo for a year or two. He know he's not the long-term guy. You can go there, sit for a couple of years, and you'll be the guy in 2 years. I think that would be the dream scenario for Anthony Richardson at 5, 6, 7 range. One of those teams grab him up and let him sit behind a veteran for a year or two, and then, you know, learn what he can and kind of take the reins over from there. I don't think he's quite ready to start yet. Coach need a quarterback. I think they're going to go whoever's available between Levis and Stroud. I don't know if they'll take Richardson, but you just don't know. You just don't know. So it's all, to me, it just depends on what Houston does it to. I feel like what Houston does it to is going to kind of shape those next, you know, those picks from like 3 to 8. What Houston does it to. If they take a quarterback, then who knows? Somebody might be trading up to try to get, you know, who they might think is best between the two remaining guys. If they take a defensive guy, then you might want to stay pat if you're the coach. You don't want to trade anything and take either Levis or Stroud. So it's going to be interesting to see how that comes into play. I think 4 quarterbacks or Hayden Hooker, 5 quarterbacks might go in the first round. But you never know with the NFL draft. You know, it might be a surprise pick. It might be some trades. It might be something that comes into play. But one thing for sure, we do know that Bryce Young is going to go number one. And after that, is it a flip a coin? Are these guys really that different? Are these guys really, you know, it depends on what situation you get in. Let's keep it real. You get in the right situation, you got everything, got a good offensive coordinator around, you got people who know what you're doing, coming, molding you. It's all about getting into a good franchise. That separates the people who succeed and from people who are busts. And it just comes in, are you going to work hard? Are you going to be happy with just getting in the NFL? And okay, I got drafted, you know, or are you going to get in there and work your ass off? That separates the boys from the men. That's most of these guys, they're all good college players. But how do you transition that over to the professional league and take it that to that next step? That's what it basically comes down to. And that's a hard decision to make. You know, that's a hard decision to make. That's why they ask all these questions. How many kids you got? What does your mama do for a living? You smack somebody in elementary school. That's why they ask all these damn weird questions to kind of see what kind of character you got, what you're going to bring to the table, and how you're going to help the team. I don't have a problem with it because this is life or death. Guys lose their job on this. General managers have lost their job because making bad picks. Hell, the Raiders been doing it for years. You got to hit when you that damn high in the draft. When you're in the top 10, you got to hit. I mean, don't get me wrong. When the NFL draft is 7 rounds, so you still feel like you can find a starter in the second and the third rounds too. But if you're in the top 10 pick, it's key to make all these get these picks right. That's why I don't have a problem if Houston don't take a quarterback. If you don't feel like your quarterback's not in this draft, I'm not going to take a quarterback just to be taking one. You know, I'm not going to take a quarterback just to be taking one. If I don't feel like my guys in this draft, then we move on. We take the best player available, and we move on. So it's going to be important to hit on these drafts, and it's going to be fun to watch. Me personally, I don't love all of them. I like them. I don't know if I love a quarterback in this draft. I like them. They're good. They can start 10 years for me, but is anybody just excites me like, oh my God. Apparently it does for Carolina. They traded up, traded some first round picks and one of their best receiver. So evidently they see something they like, but these quarterbacks, I don't know. But I've been proven wrong. Some guys who I think might be good in this draft that might not be good professionals. You know, and there's some guys who I'm thinking, I don't know if I like them, that might turn out to be all pros. So we'll see. It's always just a flip of the coin, you know, so we'll see how it goes. NFL draft starting on Thursday, round one. It's official. Aaron Rodgers has been traded to the New York Jets. About goddamn time. We knew it would happen. We just didn't know when. I kind of had a feeling it would be the week of the draft. Green Bay wanted the Jets' first round pick, but they agreed to kind of swap and move up. So they'll move up to the Jets' number 13 pick. Jets will move back to the Packers' 15th pick. And they also got a second round pick from the New York Jets. And then they'll get, if Rodgers plays 60%, 65% of the snaps next year, they'll get their first round pick for next year. So I thought they gave up a lot for a 39-year-old, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Jets feel like they're a quarterback away, and if it happens to be an agent, Aaron Rodgers, so be it. They were in a lot of games last year. The quarterback play is kind of what held them back. So we'll see if Rodgers is the answer to at least get them in the playoffs and have them competitive. And, you know, so that would be good. As far as Green Bay, you got to take, you know, you had to get something. So, you know, I think getting a good second round pick, you still got your second round pick also. So that'd be 42nd and 45th, I believe. So that's two starters. That's two starters right there to go along with having the 15th pick. And you'll get a first rounder next year, because I think Rodgers will play 65% of the snaps. If not, you have a second round pick. So what do your guys think about Rodgers' tenure in Green Bay? He spent 18 years there. One Super Bowl, four MVPs. I mean, was it a failure? I mean, they were a playoff team, you know, a lot of times, but they did come up short a lot of times. I believe he went to four NFC championships, one Super Bowl, and he just, you know, couldn't get it done. But they do have the one Super Bowl. Now we live in a day and age now where, like, they just sweep your one Super Bowl under the rug. Remember, it was like, he's never won anything. He's never won it. Now he's only won one. So it's like Brady has kind of made it kind of tough. So even if you win one Super Bowl, they still look at you, you know, okay, you did that, but hell, there's only one, you know, but it used to be, hell, he ain't win nothing. He ain't win no rings. Now it's like one ain't good enough no more. So you can't please everybody. I wouldn't say it was a failure, but it was a lot of missed opportunities. There was a lot of missed opportunities that Rodgers had with the Packers. Now he goes to the Jets. I don't know how many more years he want to play. You never know with Rodgers. He's kind of taking that Brett Favre method where at the end of the season, he likes the attention. He's going to go away and tell us he's in darkness. He's going to be chilling with a new girlfriend or letting his hair grow, all this other nonsense, and then lets us know if he's going to come back or not. I think he should make a commitment to the Jets right away. I'm at least going to play 2 years. I'm going to come in here early and play with the young guys, get to know everybody. I want to see that kind of Rodgers, not, oh, I don't know if I'm going to do mandatory. I'm not going to show up to this. I'm not, get there and know your team. That was the problem last year in Green Bay. You didn't get that chemistry with the young guys. And by the time you got it with them, y'all was too damn deep in the hole that, you know, the playoffs, you know, you had to win every game. And it wasn't possible. You guys wasn't good enough. So get in here, get the chemistry with the young guys, the O-line, know the coaches, even though you do know Nathaniel Hackett, who they brought over, you know, Alan Lazard. So just get in there, try to, you know, I think be a better leader. I'm starting to see signs of that from Rodgers being a better leader, but we'll see. New environment, New York ain't Green Bay. He going to see that. That's like comparing tequila to milk. So he going to see the difference right away. And this media ain't going to let you slide with that nonsense, that shit you be pulling in Green Bay. You know, passive aggressive and shit. No, they going to come at your head. So I think he'll be prepared for that. I think he knows that going in. And he's expected to win. You know, he's expected to go in there and win. I know he's 39. I know he's, you know, at the end of his career, but, you know, so what? You Aaron Rodgers, you got these nice young, you got this young talented team around you offensively and defensively. I think the Jets definitely going to be a playoff team. I don't want to say Super Bowl contender because they are in the same conference with Kansas City and Buffalo, and you got Cincinnati. So I don't want to say Super Bowl team, but it would be a very disappointing if the Jets don't at least make the playoffs. I think they at least should be able to make the playoffs, be competitive in a tough division now because Miami loaded too with Miami and Buffalo. But I think they can compete with those guys. I think Rodgers brings some leadership, some veteran, a quarterback play that killed them last year. If he can just be, I'm not expecting him to be Aaron Rodgers of past. If he can just be a solid Aaron Rodgers and don't make those mistakes Zach Wilson made last year, I think the Jets are going to be okay. I think the Jets will make the playoffs. I think it's a good trade for both teams. Green Bay's ready to rebuild with the new quarterback, and we'll see how they go. They finally can get rid of Rodgers controlling the organization, and we'll see where it goes. I like the trade for both teams. When counting another man's money goes wrong, Lamar Jackson, let me holler at you. Come here, come here, come here, come here. This is me and you. Go get your money. Sign your contract with the Ravens. Get your money, man. If you outplay the deal, you'll come back with you with more money. But for now, get your money. I mean, I've been hearing it as 160 guaranteed, 170 guaranteed. Get your money. Quit being obsessed with how much Cleveland gave Deshaun Watson. Don't worry about that. That was their mistake. You know what I'm saying? That was their mistake. They're a desperate team. They always been a desperate organization. They move without thinking. They're emotional thinkers, not logical thinkers. They gave 250 guaranteed to a guy who hadn't played in a year and a half, almost 2 years. So come on now. They're not doing good business. So you can't go off of what Deshaun Watson. Are you a better player? Yeah. Are you more accomplished? Yeah. Do you stay out of trouble? Yeah. You check all the marks over Deshaun Watson. I'm with you on that. But that was a bad contract, done bad business, done by a bad organization. Take your money, get what you're going to get. Your market value is around what Jalen Hurts just got, what Kyler Murray got. That's your market. Stay within that limit. Quit worrying about obsessed with this Deshaun Watson contract. And it's 2023. There's other ways to get your money now. Come on now. It's just not with football. You still got endorsements. Deshaun might be done with that. You can do something on the internet with technology, with investing. There's just so much you can do to make your money. It's just not football. It's not a one-trick pony no more where I just play sports and I make my money. It's 2023 now. So you still got things, advantages over Deshaun Watson. Like I said, you still can get endorsements. He might be done. So quit worrying about what Deshaun Watson got. Jalen Hurts just signed 5 years, $255 million, $179 guaranteed. That's what's important to you, right? The guarantee, right? I think you can get that. $160 million with Kyler Murray. You get that. You said they offered you $2 million, but $200 million. But you're so obsessed with what Deshaun Watson is getting that is clouding your brain. And I think you need to hire an agent. I know, you know, messing with family and mommy is important, but you need to go ahead and hire your agent. Bite the bullet. Hire your agent. Get somebody in there who knows what they're talking about, who's going to get you settled and get you right and get the best deal for you. I still think Baltimore is the best place for you. They got the offense set around you. They even brought in Odell Beckham Jr., somebody who you said you wanted. He said he's here because of Lamar. So he expects you to be with the Ravens. And they let you go talk to other teams. Apparently nothing is happening. So I think it's best you go back to Baltimore, get your money, get out there, play winning football. You're still going to be one of the top five in the league as far as paid. Are you going to get the Deshaun Watson contract? No. But I don't think Joe Burrow, I don't think Justin Herbert's going to get that contract either. Jalen Hurts didn't get that contract. So it's just a, don't even look at it. That's an outlier. That's not going to happen. Bad organization, bad business. You'll see how that turns out. Get your money. I think you're worth what they asking you for. I know you seen Deshaun Watson's money and you was like, hey, hell, we all was like that. Hell, he was like that. Hell, I ain't played in 2 years. They want to give me 250. Oh, hell yeah. He wasn't going to go to Cleveland. Wasn't his first choice. Wasn't his second choice. But, I mean, bad business. They made him an offer he couldn't refuse. And, hell, he didn't refuse it. He didn't want to Cleveland. He was complaining about going and playing cold weather teams. He didn't want to go play in no damn Cleveland. They gave him an offer he couldn't refuse. A bad offer. You got to know that. That was a bad offer. You can't look at that. I think you should go sign with the Ravens, get your money, get back on the field, try to stay healthy. I don't like this franchising shit. I don't want that. Rip that shit up. Rip my franchise up and give me the contract I want. I think it still can be done. I mean, you got to put your pride to the side. I know we want to win every argument. But sometimes you got to be like, look, man. I'm still making way more money than I ever had. Here, the franchise, $32 million, is more than you've made in your career. So go ahead and get your contract. I would say 3 to 4 years. Hell, you still young. 3-4 years. You're going to get paid again if you out here handling your business. You know? I would say, put your pride to the side. Holler at Baltimore. Get the deal done. Get paid. Get back on the football field, man. We want to see you, man. Don't worry about Deshaun Watson. Get your money. It's 2023. Several ways to skin a cat. It just ain't football no more where that was your only income. It's 2023. You can do plenty of things that get you more money coming in. Don't worry about that. Put your pride to the side. Go sign the contract. Get back on the field. It's money to be made. You deserve a great contract. Apparently, Baltimore has that waiting for you. Get it done. I want to see Lamar Jackson back out on the field and put this nonsense behind you.